Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou art worthy, O Lord. For thou hast created all things, hast created, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created, for thou art worthy, O Lord. I am Missionary Richard Yerby in Japan, calling on Japanese Buddhists to repent of and to forsake their satanic idols and to turn to the one true living God who created them, and then to live the remainder of their lives on earth to give glory and honor and power to their Creator, because He is most worthy and deserving of the greatest glory. Also, He Himself is all-powerful, and He is soon to draw them before His judgment bar to judge them according to His righteous standard. My friend, listen to me now. God is soon to bring you and me before His judgment bar in like manner. He warns us all in His Holy Bible that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He more fearfully warns us that our God who created us is a consuming fire, and He solemnly calls upon us to prepare to meet our God in judgment. The title of this sermon is Almighty God's Pleasure. I just sang the scripture that is in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, which reads, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Each and every person on earth should voice the following prayer to our Almighty God Creator. Almighty God in heaven, my Creator and my soon coming Judge, right now, please instill within me complete knowledge and full belief that Thou dost most certainly exist, and that Thou didst create all things that are and were created, the entire universe. Please give me full understanding of Thy pleasure in creating me individually, personally, for Thy pleasure. Please assure me that the way for me to bring pleasure to Thee is by repenting to God in heaven and trusting in God the Son, Jesus Christ, the divine Savior unto mankind, to save me eternally from Thy holy wrath that is upon my sins. Guide me to diligently study Thy holy Bible and obey it fully, loving Thee with all my heart and loving other people as I love my own self. Amen. Because I am preaching on God's pleasure, first, please think with me on pleasure in the broadest realm, looking at Holy Scriptures that teach us spiritual truths concerning pleasure that each of us should seriously consider. Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of Moses, records the following words in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The next verse 26 says of Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, glory, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Thus, the Bible teaches us that there are pleasures of sin, a truth that we readily know, and that is likely the main motive for the entire human race willfully sinning to derive those pleasures. Another common motive for sinning is attempting to cover up a sin or sins already committed by lying, denying having committed a sinful act, or by murdering a witness to the awful sin already committed. If you are a Christ rejecter who is living to enjoy the pleasures of sin, then please think ever so seriously on the eternal truth that they endure only for a season. As Hebrews 11:25 proclaims to you personally, if you are a fellow Christian believer, it behooves you to constantly, daily, bear in mind that you are duty-bound to God, your Creator, your Savior, and your soon-coming Judge, to be a watchman to the lost and perishing souls around you, to constantly warn them to flee God's wrath to come. God forbid that we neglect this crucial, eternal, life-saving duty and glorious privilege. Please invite everyone that you can to listen to this sermon on my website, listed as number 2026-2 under Radio Sermons Audio. My website URL is christisall.us. Separate those three words with two dashes, christ-is-all.us. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Christ rejecting friend, were you to live past 90 years of age in health sufficiently good enough to still be enjoying your favorite sins till that age, 90 years of enjoying those vain pleasures cannot begin to compare with a never-ending eternity of weeping and gnashing your teeth in hell's flaming torments, totally void of any hope of ever being released or ever freed from that torment. Get some spiritual sense into your head and repent now, while it is the day of salvation. The wages of sin is death. The Bible clearly warns us that second death is an eternal death of torments in hell fire. Right now, you Christ rejecter can turn to life everlasting and pleasures forevermore, if only you will choose to do so. Listen to what David proclaimed to God in Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lost friend, listen to me right now. Please sincerely pray the following prayer. Christian friend listening on the radio right now, please quickly intercede for the salvation of each precious lost soul who is also listening. Pray, my Creator God, please draw me unto Thee to enable me to sincerely turn unto Thee to be saved to the utmost eternally. Enable me to fully forsake the ways of death and to embrace the path of life everlasting, the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Amen. Listen as I now read Psalms 36, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. Verse 9, for with thee is the river of life, in thy light shall we see light. Lost friend without Christ, please make the following prayer your heart cry to your almighty creator right now. Almighty God, right now, please make me fully knowledgeable of the excellency of thy loving kindness unto me personally. Enable me to put my trust under the shadow of thy wings. Please abundantly satisfy me with the fatness of thy house and make me to drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. I confess that with thee is the river of life. Please cause me to drink of the water of life. Help me to walk in thy divine light so that I will see light. Enlighten my darkened heart, I pray. Amen. Listen now to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Also, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6, forsake the foolish and live. Go and go in the way of understanding. Earnestly pray the following prayer, please. Lord Jesus Christ, thou didst love me personally with the greatest love there is, in that you laid down your life on the cross to take the punishment of my sin, the punishment of death in my place, eternal death in hell. Please enable me to fathom the depth of that love, and that thou hast no desire to send me to those eternal flames of hellfire, but rather loves me and desires that I repent and turn from my evil ways in order to avoid that never-ending death, the torment. Please enable me to utterly forsake the foolish and to live forever in pleasures and to go in the way of understanding. Amen. Oh, our Lord's great compassion and mercy and grace toward us. Listen to it again in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. As Christ is speaking to his disciples, he says to them, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You pray now, please. Almighty God, the Father in heaven, please take me unto thee. Make me thine own child, to give me the kingdom of God in heaven, a home in thy glorious heaven and pleasures forevermore. Amen. The scripture in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, speaks of the pleasure of the world and the pleasure of sin when it reads, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. 1 Timothy 5:6 is similar, as it reads, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 speaks of people who are, quoting now, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, referring to people who love the pleasures of sin and of the world more than they love God. Would you pray now, Lord Jesus Christ, God's Savior unto mankind, please save me from loving sinful and worldly pleasures. Please save me from living in sin and worldly pleasures. Please help me to love my Creator God with all my heart and to shun sinful and worldly pleasures. Amen. James chapter 5 in the New Testament, toward the end of the New Testament, chapter 5 and verse 5 of James, the book of James, reads like this. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Please pray. My Creator God, please convince me that sinful and worldly pleasures cannot satisfy my soul, but that they do the exact opposite of satisfying. They leave a wanton, lacking feeling in one's soul. Please cause me to seriously consider the diminishing returns that harmful vices give. With continued use, tobacco, alcohol, drugs, and such, lose their ability to stimulate and satisfy and bring pleasure. No longer do they feel pleasant, but rather need to be consumed simply to stave off the horrible pains of withdrawal. Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus told the woman of Samaria who came to the well to draw water, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That natural water in that earthy well is a type of the water of the world, which is sinful and worldly pleasures. It does not satisfy the human soul. Soon after drinking it, thirst rises again, and each successive drink gives less and less satisfaction, drinking of the water of the world. That leads to burnout. By that I mean no satisfaction is found in life, and too often that totally empty void soul sees no profit in continuing to live that wanton, hollow, meaningless, unfulfilled life, and tragically thereby commit suicide. In the early 1980s, in an extremely rich, affluent suburb of a large, renowned U.S. city, a high school teenager committed suicide. Shock and deep grief throughout the community. But in a few days, a second teen took their own life. And a third precious young soul soon did likewise. Parents and teachers assembled that student body together in a desperate meeting, demanding that the kids fess up to those adults in charge of their lives just exactly what those kids were up to. Soon, sheepish, timid, confession came forth. A few of us made a suicide pact. Those parents figuratively and likely literally threw up their hands in desperate, shocked unbelief. Why, they exclaimed, we gave you everything. And right there was the very cause of those teens ending their own young lives. Their parents drowned them in the deadly waters of the world. They drank of practically every possible worldly pleasure available to them, and in their affluence, most any pleasure that money could buy was available to them. Upon obtaining a driver's license at age 16 or so, many of those teens could name the new luxury car they desired to their parents, and the parents bought it for them. Many of the girls wore expensive diamond rings or such jewelry to school. They lived in fancy two- or three-story houses that had large game room basements. But they found it strange that drinking to the full of many such fancy pleasures left them bored and thirsty. No satisfaction, no fulfillment. An affluent childhood turned out to be a curse to them instead of a blessing. That is a truth that cannot be escaped. Some concluded that their lives would never be any better than the void life they were now living and opted to end their lives. On two different occasions, when I was in the States briefly from Japan and preaching in churches in that area, I walked those very neighborhoods in that affluent suburb, leaving a gospel pamphlet at each door. I marveled at the grandeur of one after another, two or three story high palatial palaces on immensely manicured lawns lining the street. It looked like paradise on earth, a far cry from the dilapidated wooden shacks I grew up in. Now, my childhood was the exact opposite of theirs, the blessing of dire poverty and little boy, miserable slave labor on a dirt farm, our whole family, parents and children, slaving away at hard manual farm labor, barely eking out a living. Much adversity it was, but an amazing thing was that as I toiled hard during my childhood and teen years, never once was there any thoughts of suicide. Living at the bottom of the totem pole of life left room for hope, for future improvement, something better to look forward to, something brighter to strive diligently for. Those rich suburbanite teens had it all, but their young souls still came up empty, causing some of them to end it all with suicide. Philippians 2, verse 13 reads, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Rest assured that it is impossible for you to find sufficient joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment in life unless your Creator God worketh in you both to will, desire to, and to do of his good pleasure. Why not pray to him now? "My Creator God, please change my selfish heart into a heart that wholly wills and desires to do thy good pleasure. Help me to fully yield my heart to thee right now for the purpose of thee doing thy good pleasure in me. Amen." Listen to 2 Thessalonians 1:11. "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." Christian friend, listen to me now. Would you please pray that for me? I sincerely desire God to count me worthy of his calling to me personally, and for Almighty God to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and godly Holy Ghost power in my life of service unto him here in Japan, my Lord and my all. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10 always thrills my soul and challenges me each time I meditate on it. It reads, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." The Bible teaches us of the natural man that is inside each of us. Our natural man naturally does not desire such hardship in life, much less take pleasure in them. It takes a spiritual man to take pleasure in such adversity. Please pray for me to be such a spiritual man. Rich worldly parents who take pleasure in heaping worldly pleasures upon their children, to often tragically see those precious children commit suicide or die of drug abuse or such before those children reach 30 years of age. Ecclesiastes 12:1 commands us thus wise, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Consider the great extent to which people's souls are not fulfilled, the degree to which many folks are finding little or no pleasure and satisfaction in life. This unpleasant emotion particularly besets elderly folks as the years draw nigh. In times past, say 150 years ago, when most people lived on the land, making their livelihood off the land as God ordained in Genesis 3:23, it was quite common for 3 to 4 family generations to be living in the same one house or within walking distance of each other, the most elderly generation daily receiving God-ordained pleasure, joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment from regularly being with 2 or 3 generations of their offspring. Genesis chapter 50, verse 23 speaks of Joseph bringing up great-grandchildren on his knees. Of course, he lived to be 110 years old, but my main point here is that his third generation of direct descendants live on his knees. In the devil's modern world of today, it is not rare for the oldest generation of people in their 80s that all their descendants live a several-hour airplane flight away or 12 hours or more away by car. That is regrettable, leaving the elderly generation lonely. The afflictions and adversities that beset me as I exalt the Savior Jesus Christ here in Japan are ever so light, but the joy that he bestows upon me for doing so is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I am the most blessed soul on the face of this earth. My soul is satisfied and fulfilled. I lack nothing. Pray for me as I preach to the Japanese that my preaching will be effective to win many lost Buddhist souls to the Lord. God bless you, my Christian friend.